All right, good morning to you. Good to see all of you today. Thank you for being here on a special day. Roundup Sunday is always special for us and something we've been doing for a long time, and I'm glad you're here and for the most part participating also. It's a fun day. You don't have to necessarily wear maybe all your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. You can wear something else sometimes. Let's go to John 14 this morning, if you would. Gospel of John, chapter number 14. We'll look at about 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, something like that. We'll look at John 14:1, then we'll go 25 through 27, but however you want to do that. I thought I'd have Brother Case up there in the tape room put up a picture for you, something that you're probably familiar with. It's the Colt Peacemaker. It's supposed to be the gun that won the West. And I thought about that this morning because I wanted to talk about the believer's peacemaker today. And the Colt Peacemaker is pretty famous. It was also a military issue. I think they called it the Colt Single Action Army. And it's called the Colt 45, all kinds of stuff. But it's a single action revolver, has a revolving cylinder holding 6 metallic cartridges or bullets, otherwise, AKA. And it was designed for the U.S. government. And it was used for a long, long time and was popular not only in the military, but it was also popular with ranchers, lawmen, and outlaws. Mother-in-laws. No, I'm just kidding. It was just popular. It was a popular gun, and it's a famous piece of Americana, and like I said earlier, it's known as the gun that won the West. You know, I'm sure it created a lot of peace. There might be some that used it to create a lot of havoc, but for the most part, generally speaking, it was the peacemaker. And I thought about that, applying that to us as believers today. In John 14:1, you see a verse that's very familiar to you. I wanted to show a few more verses that go along with it here in John 14 and maybe make a few other references for application this morning. But let's talk about the believer's peacemaker here for a few minutes together here in the Sunday School Hour. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Have you ever stopped to think that the reason Jesus said that was because the disciples that were listening to him when he was talking here in John 14, the reason he said that to them is because their heart was troubled. He wouldn't have said, "Let not your heart be troubled," if their heart wasn't troubled. Now, there's those troublesome times in Israel. Troublesome times maybe with the disciples. They saw the Lord Jesus, that he had came, and he was the prophesied Messiah, and they were excited about that. They thought for sure that that meant the kingdom was coming, which it was. It was nigh. The kingdom was at hand, the prophesied kingdom where Israel would be righted and become a nation again, and not just any old nation or not just even a preferred nation on the earth, but God's nation and vehicle upon the earth. And they were excited about that. But then they saw all the leadership of Israel. Folks like that wore black, Sadducees and Pharisees. No white hats, and hardly a white hat in the bunch, okay? They're all bad guys, trench coats, smocks, whatever they call them, they were wearing them. And they were rejecting the truth, not only that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching and represented, but the truth that the apostles were now trying to preach. And the ruling class of Israel was rejecting the Lord God in the flesh. And the disciples started to see that, and that was troublesome times because, you know, they're already an occupied nation. The Romans are in charge. The Gentiles are trodden them under their feet, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't a good time necessarily. It wasn't a time of patriotism or great national pride because you were the whipping post, so to speak, as far as being a Hebrew in the day. And so things didn't look good, but the Lord Jesus was there. He was there, you know, he was their Lone Ranger. He was their knight in shining armor. He was there to save the day. He was going to be on the white horse and ride off into the sunset, but they didn't realize all that God was going to accomplish in Christ Jesus. And so they're starting to see that the tide is turning against them, and they're troubled about it. Their hearts are troubled about it. That takes us down to verse number 25. Look at it, John 14, 25. Can skip over maybe some of the more familiar verses and kind of look here to see what Lord Jesus was saying to his disciples here. 12 apostles included, Judas included. And by the way, you see here in just a short few verses in John 14 where you have Thomas that speaks up. We're very familiar with that. Thomas saith unto him, ask the question, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then you have Philip that speaks up in verse number 8. Then you have the other Judas, not the Judas Iscariot, not the bad Judas, but the Judas that stayed true, the other Judas of the 12 disciples. In verse 22, he speaks up and asks a question to the Lord Jesus. So then we get down to verse 25. Here's part of Christ's answer. Listen to it. These things have I spoken unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He's there on earth in the flesh with these disciples, with these believers. But the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, and there it's defined for us right there in the passage, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now you see the function of the Holy Ghost there. Not the function that too many churches try to give the Holy Ghost today. They make more of the Holy Ghost than they do of the one that the Holy Ghost makes much of, okay? The Holy Ghost is here to, once again, magnify the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not to all of a sudden overcome you in certain ways to where it makes an experience, not just emotional, but some type of experience, some type of literal physical experience where it takes precedence among you. You don't find that if you rightly divide the Scripture being the doctrine of this day. He says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, verse 27, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'll stop reading right there. I thought I'd talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the believer's peacemaker. And I want you to know that if we took time to go to Ephesians chapter 6, we'd find out that this book right here, whether yours is bound in leather or whatever it's bound in, but the words contained in this book right here are actually part of your armor that God gives you. Did you understand that? It's part of your armor that God gives you that you can actually hold in your hand. In your human hand of flesh, you can hold this spiritual weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. It has multiple, many other names, of course, but it actually is a weapon that we are to engage and employ while in this earthly life. It's our peacemaker. It really is. It operates with other parts of God's armor and weaponry. Let's say it that way. But this is the peacemaker when it comes to us as believers today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to also be on this life support system of His Word. Okay? You know when an astronaut. Leaves our earthly realm, leaves our atmosphere, goes up, say outer space, up to the moon or somewhere else, and we're very limited in where we can go. Yet, if an astronaut were to do that, he has to have with him at all times a life support system. In fact, it has to totally surround him and engulf him, does it not? You know why? Because he's basically in alien territory, if you want to see it that way. An astronaut's just like me and you. He's made of the earth. He's dependent upon the earth. He has to breathe the air that's on the earth. He has to eat the food that comes from the earth. It's all about the earth. He's got an earthy body, 1 Corinthians 15 says. Okay? You know what? As a believer, now God has called us out. Maybe I shouldn't use this word, but we're a new species now. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so now we're kind of, since the devil's in charge, we're kind of in a alien, hostile environment right now. So we have to be on our life support all the time. We have to have it protecting us, covering us, engulfing us. It has to be a part of our every move while we're down here on earth. This is our life support. The Word of God is so important. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about what the peacemaker actually does for me and you as believers. Okay, let's talk about that, and we'll look at a couple of things. I'll give you a couple points this morning and a couple verses to either jot down or to look at later, or maybe we'll take time to look at them even together here in the Bible class. But number one, here's what the believer's peacemaker does for him. It'll change the negative aspects of your personality. Let me just say it this way. It'll change the negative aspects of our personality, okay? Everybody has different personalities. If we were all had the same personality, it'd be kind of boring probably. Probably would be, you know, probably be mundane or old hat or you know, just the same old, same old. But, you know, people come in all different shapes and sizes and shades and colors. You know, we're different people. We act different. Even in a family, you have a lot of differences. You might have a lot of similarities, but you have a lot of differences also. But do you know that this peacemaker right here, practically speaking, for the time that we're living right now, that it actually has a good effect on us This peacemaker changes the negative aspects of our personality, if you let it, if you let it. Think about it this morning. I mean, every one of us, since we're in this body of flesh, we have some sinfulness that comes out in our being, does it not? We have some, I guess you could say, even some unlovely attributes and characteristics. We do. Everybody, let's just be serious about it. And if you spend any time in the mirror of God's Word, sometimes you don't like the reflection you see of yourself. And that's what it is. That's the you right there that's not yet been conformed to the image of His Son. And it's not lovely. Unless you're viewing it from a deceived viewpoint, it's not lovely at all. Think about it. We get these negative aspects of ourselves through many ways. We get a lot of it through birth, right? I mean, we get it through the genes. Not the genes with a J, but the genes with a G, right? Not the J that we're wearing today, but the G that we got, and that's just ingrained in us. It's part of the numbers. It's part of the DNA, and we inherit negative tendencies sometimes, and we get that, and you can see those things. One of the things that's toughest for me is watching my kids do the negative things or the flawed things that I've known about myself. When I see that repeated in them, that's even more disturbing, I guess you could say. But I can't be too horribly hard on them because I know where they got it from. They got it from their mom. No, I'm just kidding. They got it from me. So they get it honest, so to speak. All too honest, too often. So you gotta be careful about that. But you know what? Just because you might have a tendency towards one thing or another doesn't mean that's how you have to be or you have to be defined that way. God's Word, God's peacemaker can do a work on you, can't it? Can you think about some things, maybe somebody you know, that they used to be a certain way, but, you know, through the years, they've moved away from that and moved more towards the right reflection of the Word of God? Maybe you've seen some victories in your own heart and life where God's done a work. What a blessing that is to see what God can do if we let His peacemaker go to work on us. You know, think about it. I mean, we all have bad habits, do we not? I've heard my dad say it so often growing up here in this church about how we're creatures of habit, and we have a lot of established habits, but a lot of them are, some of those habits are negative habits, are they not? I mean, I'm sure there's some good habits that we should continue in and repeat, and that's good. Reinforce those, continue in those, but what about the negative ones? Negative ones are, you have to retrain yourself, recondition yourself. You have to do that, and I said that the wrong way, because if you try to do it yourself, it ain't going to work. But if you let this book, this peacemaker do it, it will retrain and recondition you. It will move you past that. It'll move you through that. What a blessing that is to see that. You know, ungodly actions and attitudes. Think about it. Is there still some parts of you, your personality or yourself, that still acts the same as it did before you got saved? Let's think about this. Remember when the Lord Jesus came to the coast of I can't remember the right name of it right now. I'll just call it the Gadarenes because that's where the Gadarenes lived. And he came to that coast and went in there. And remember how he found that maniac of Gadara, what we call him most of the time. He's got some couple other identifiers also. Found him living among the tombs. And you remember the guy had a lot of evil spirits in him, you know. And Christ did a supernatural work on him and cast out those unclean spirits. Do you think that after the maniac of Gadara met the Lord Jesus and was saved and delivered from his present, lost, sinful, evil spiritual condition, do you think that God expected him to act the same as he did before he met him? Do you think that the maniac of Gadara was supposed to continue some of the habits that he was participating in before he met the Lord Jesus Christ and was delivered? Think about it. Now, we say all that. Well, he was cutting himself and he was howling at the moon and he was, you know, living among the tombs. I don't do any of that. No. I'm not talking about what he did. I'm talking about what you do. Think about it. If we continue some of the things that we used to do, that used to define us, used to be part of our personality or being, if we continue in those things and walk in those things, those bad habits, bad actions, bad attitudes, bad thought processes, etc., etc., think about it. If we continue in those things, God didn't save us to continue in those things. God saved us because he was conforming us to a new man, a new image. He was making a new creature out of us. We're a new species. And by the way, I just have to inject this because I have to, okay? The reason I say we're a new species is because, you know, once we meet the Lord face to face, appear soon, when he returns, when he appears for the church. You understand, we'll be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. Doesn't matter if we're already asleep in Jesus and this corruptible is put on corruption. Well, then that corruptible is going to have to give up the corruption and put on incorruption. And the mortal that's alive when Jesus returns, mortal life, mortal laws, all those things we're bound by, disease and sickness and death and all those things, this mortal, if we're alive when Christ returns, has to put on immortality, no longer under mortal law, no longer in the mortal realm. Well, think about it. We're changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye. Christ dwelt here on earth. He did. He even partook of food, remember that, in his new body? But he also dwells in the heavens and has been dwelling in the heavens for some almost 1900 plus years now, dwelling in the heavens. So he has a body that can live here or can live there. That's a new creature. That's a new species. Man, I don't have time to talk about it, but see, Satan's not God. Satan, it has limitations on him. Satan is not omniscient. He does not know all. And when the Lord did that in Christ Jesus, it definitely pulled the big one over on Satan. Satan thought the battle realm was just here on earth, that for some reason God was really concerned with us men. And he says, as long as he's concerned with them human beings down there on that earthly realm, I know I don't have to worry about my strongholds here in the heavens, because those men can never dwell here. And all of a sudden now, God's created a new man that can dwell here, there, anywhere God wants him to dwell. So now Satan knows not only is his grip being peeled off this earth, but it's also being peeled off the heavens, the principalities and powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places. Think about it. Anyway, that's not part of the lesson, but that's good stuff right there. That's real good stuff. If you followed me and you tried to listen on purpose, that's good stuff right there. Aren't you glad to be part of that new species, that new creation in Christ Jesus, no longer bearing the image of the earthly or the first Adam, but you bear the image of the heavenly or the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who you are. That's the hope of your calling. That means God saved you for a reason, not just to forgive you of your sins. Thank God for that, because I definitely needed it, and you did too. But he saved us not only to forgive us, not only for us to be reconciled to him, but because he's got plans for us in the eternity yet to come. Good stuff right there. Good stuff right there. But while we're here, we need to let the peacemaker change the negative aspects of our personality while we're here. Between now and that great appearing and gathering and great roundup in the sky, between now and then, let's let this peacemaker work on us. Goodbye. All right, let's keep going. Let's look at another one. Number two, here's what the peacemaker does for me and you as believers. It will help us to rise above adverse circumstances. The peacemaker will help us rise above adverse circumstances. Remember what Jesus says to the disciples in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, there's some troubling circumstances in the kingdom or the nation of Israel. Yes, he admits that. He knows that. He's aware of that. He's been there for 3 years or so by this time or whatever, as far as been manifest to Israel and ministering amongst Israel. He knows all about that, but he says, my words. And by the way, I go to prepare a place for you. Let me tell you about the future. Let me tell you about what's coming ahead. Those are the things that the peacemaker does for you. It helps you understand what you have in Christ and makes you understand you're really, really not so affected by adverse circumstances around you. The peacemaker. It helps you to rise above the circumstances. Too many times me and you allow ourselves to be victims of our circumstances. We all like to play the martyr or the victim card time to time and wallow in our self-pity. Yeah, we do. Shame on us. Shame, 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 shame. We shouldn't be that way. We let our joy and our peace leave because we act like it's the climate that determines whether we have joy and peace. It's the environmental conditions that determine whether we have joy and peace. And I know better than that, and I still do it sometimes. And you know better than that, don't you? And you still do it sometimes. Our joy and peace shouldn't be determined by our outside circumstances. I know who rules the weather. I know who does that. So, no, you missed me there. I didn't say that right. I know that the devil is the god of this world during this time, so I know it's going to be bad circumstances. So why should I let those bad circumstances creep in here where Jesus is in charge? or the Lord God, Christ, the hope of glory, is on the throne, or supposed to be on the throne of my heart, we should be like a thermostat setting the climate warm or cool. Not a thermometer just reflecting what it is, right? Shouldn't we be? Because of the peacemaker? Because of the spiritual weapon? Because of what we're packing in Christ Jesus? We shouldn't be a thermometer just reflecting what the conditions are. We should be a thermostat. And the conditions of our heart are set by this book right here. Now, that's good stuff. I should talk some more about it, but I'm going to keep going. The Holy Spirit's going to remind us of his words. Remember what he said to the fellows here in John 14? He says the comforter's going to come. What's the comforter going to do? Is he going to make you flop on the floor like a fish? Is he going to tell you to pick up snakes and stuff like that? No, that's not what the comforter's going to do. The comforter is coming to put my words that I've given you in remembrance. It's going to magnify the truth that I've given you. My words, they are truth. My words are spirit and they are life. And all those things that we can talk about. Let's keep going. Here's the third thing that the peacemaker for the believer does. It gives us victory over sin. It gives us victory over sin. You know that nothing will cause more stress in my life or your life than sin? We're aware of stress that comes upon us because of sin. Sin is a disease that when it comes to the flesh, it has no cure. When it comes to the flesh. Not talking about the spirit, not talking about our eternal souls, but when it comes to our physical body in its current state, it's the seed of sin. It's just like they say that cancer's in you and not always is it active. Well, sin's in you, maybe not always as active maybe as you see it somewhere else, but it's there. Your flesh is the seed of sin, and nothing will cause you more stress, more problems, more destruction in your earthly life than sin. Sin hinders our fellowship with God, does it not? Does it not change our perception of things when we're in sin? Does it not change the way our outlook on things when we're in sin, when we're participating in sin? Yes, it does. Now, God, thank God in Jesus Christ, he does not change towards us. We think he does, and truthfully, humanly, he ought to, right? Because of what we did, we're unworthy, we're worthless, we're scum, we're no good, yet God still loves us because he's viewing us in Christ Jesus. So he doesn't change, but we change. That's why our fellowship is affected. You can't wrong someone in your family and pretend everything's cool. You can't do that. You can't do that one day and everything's back to normal the next day. No. There's something there. There's a divider there. There's a wall there. There's turmoil there. So that's how it is with our Lord. He doesn't change towards us. His arms are still wide open. There's still a smile on his face. His heart is still full of love for us, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. Yet when we sin and continue in it, it changes our outlook about him, our Heavenly Father. We could talk more about that too. But here's the good news. Just like, isn't it Psalm 119, verse 11? Is that right? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the right reference. You know, nothing puts the brakes on sin and temptation than having the word of God a part of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it does something. It affects you. It helps you. It strengthens you. It edifies you. It builds you up. It builds up that inner man that's going to live forever. That new species is feasting on the word of God. And the stronger it gets, the weaker the flesh gets. Nothing puts a brake. Nothing pulls the brakes on sin and temptation like the word of God placed in our mind to renew our mind. Once again, we might have got it honest, and I know we did, but we got it honest from our great, 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 great granddaddy Adam, right? So we have sinful thought processes, we have humanistic thought processes, and all these things that flow in our mind, but you know what the Word of God does? It renews your mind. It renews your mind. Boy, if we're not getting renewed, then don't be surprised if your mind is bogged down where it shouldn't be bogged down. Don't be surprised that your mind is stuck in a rut, and then everything else follows, because what you think determines what you believe. What you believe determines what you do. Without God's word, we have no brake system. We just think about it. We can get on... What's a good road? If you keep going down Henson far enough, No, if you get on Johnson and go towards Poinciana, you know, there's quite a bit of population out there now, but used to be that was a pretty good stretch of road where you didn't have as much traffic. I guess there's probably not any stretches of road like that anymore. But if you just, you know, if you just put the pedal to the metal, if you put the hammer down and you let that little six-cylinder whine and turn up and scream, or whatever it is that you're packing under your hood, if you get going 100 miles an hour, maybe with the windows down, you could, you know, maybe this will scare you to death, but others, maybe there'd be a thrill. Maybe it's, you know, you want to be like that pig on the commercial from a few years ago. Whee, you know. maybe that's how it affects you. But then what if you went to hit the brake? I had a bad feeling like that one time. I can't tell you the whole story because even though it's been 30 almost years, no, it hasn't been that long. Been over 20 years. I just don't know if the statute of limitations is up yet or not, so. How many of you remember my dad's 65 Thunderbird? Do you remember that car? It's maroon with a white top or burgundy with a white top. It's a nice car. Heavy car, lots of chrome. Not made out of plastic and fiberglass. Heavy car. And I remember getting in a little bit of a short little race with one of the fellows I went to school with. His mom's here today. A few rows away from me, and I was trying to beat that little truck he had that had a six-cylinder in it, but it was real light, and so he took off faster than me, and I put the pedal down, and boy, that old Thunderbird was climbing and climbing and churning out the RPMs, and finally, I pulled in front of him, got in front of him. Problem was, you know, there was a stop sign just maybe a few hundred yards away. And so I hit the brake on that old 65 T-Bird, and it was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. It felt like I hit the accelerator. I hit the brake, you're waiting for it to start to, it didn't do nothing. And so I remember I had to line it up between, there used to be orange groves everywhere around here, and I just had to line it up between the orange trees, and thank God for soft grove sand. I just stuck it in there like that, like a big cotton pillow that I went into. And I had to cross two lanes of traffic, run the stop sign. Luckily, thankfully, you know, there was nobody coming from either direction. Well, that wouldn't have been good. It'd have been bad. But I remember that. That was the worst feeling I ever had, to be going fast. I'm not going to tell you how fast because I don't even know if I remember right now. But hitting the brakes, and it felt like it picked up speed. Worst feeling I ever had. Well, that's how it would be. You know, if you're a believer with the flesh in control without the Word of God, it'd be like flying down the road and no brakes to hit. What if you hit the brakes and nothing was there? Well, if you haven't let the Word of Christ dwell on you richly, nothing's going to be there. Don't let that new man get all weak and anemic because you're feeding the old man, feeding the flesh. This peacemaker gives us victory over sin, and thank God for that. And then let me also say it enables us to overcome worry, does it not? Philippians 4 has got some great verses there talking about be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Talking about a believer's peace that he has from God that would pass all understanding of any unbeliever. He wouldn't understand it. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Worry is very natural to us. We will get stressed. We will, especially if we allow it to happen, if we let the burden load up on us, on our shoulders and back. It'll make our knees buckle. It'll get us all weak and trembly. It'll make us have a frown on our face, because if you're bearing weight, you normally have this strain that you can see on somebody's face. Yet, you know what worry does? It stands in direct opposition to peace. And God says, we have peace. That's what His Word says. We have peace that passeth all understanding. So not the kind of peace that the world goes to. When they're under a heavy load, you know what they do? They escape it. They escape it through various different ways. Some of them chemical dependency. Is that the way you say it? That's what it'll help you not think about your troubles for a while, but it'll actually add to your troubles. That stuff is flammable, and it actually pours fuel on that fire. It feeds it. That's what it does. This is why God's Word is our refuge. It is our peacemaker. It's our antidote to everything. It's our weapon. But a weapon doesn't do you any good if it just stays sheathed all the time. Weapon doesn't do you any good if you don't use it like You've been trained to use it. This is the peacemaker. It enables us to overcome worry. I could say so much more. I mean, spending time in this book, think about it. How does the time that we spend in this book, how does that compare with the time we spend in other things, maybe for our flesh or for our self? If it's out of balance, then no wonder. No wonder we're overcome too often. This is the peacemaker. And just like that one right there, that must have belonged to a gunslinger, I guess, because it's pretty ornate and decorated. The barrel's not all that long on it. Think about it. That's a showpiece right there. You know, I got a better showpiece than that. I've got a peacemaker that I can employ at any time. I can use it at any time, and it's always effective. What if that gun's been mistreated? What if it's not firing properly? Here's one that fires properly every time. It cuts both edges. It's a double-edged sword, and it doesn't get dull. The more you use it, sharper it gets, right? Unlike other blades. So think about it. Employ this peacemaker, and that's a good lesson for us on a Roundup Sunday. Brother Baker, let's get the